Yo. 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 Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone, we about to party. We about to party.
Hey everybody, welcome to AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. I am here, Aubrey Edwards, with my coffee and my wonderful co-host, Alex Cervantes, who I have just learned has 7 lights for his setup.
Yeah, a minimum of 7, soon to be 8, and you just never know by the time we have our next Unrestricted, I might just have more.
I mean, like most people at AEW have a problem with buying shoes, but you apparently have a problem with buying lights.
I think I have an issue, yeah.
You do.
I might have to seek some professional help.
Yeah, I'll send you the link to my $5 Amazon ring lights. we can peel it back.
Sometimes less is more.
Speaking of peeling back, we are talking to a guy who peeled back his mask and threw it at a small child.
Awful.
This fucking asshole. Yeah. Preston Vance. Good morning, sir.
What's up, guys? what an intro. Thanks, Aubrey.
I promise to be on my best behavior.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am no longer a fan of this man. I'm just going to put it out there.
I was never really a fan of you, though.
All right, fair. Fair. Touche.
Okay, I'm just going to sit back and listen.
I mean, we got the best manager in Jose, so.
Oh.
Who's that?
Oh, snap.
Oh, man.
Oh, is that the guy who gets you your coffee and does your laundry?
Oh, man.
It's the guy who constantly has his iPad broken.
Anyway, let's get on to the real conversation here, Vance, because listen, I know we don't get along. We'll put that to the side, but you do have a great story. You got a great back history, and I think a lot of people want to know a little bit more about the Perro Peligroso, and I'm dying to find out who gave you that name anyway.
Yeah.
So, Aubrey, please take it away here while I kind of just calm down.
Sure. Okay. So, why did you decide to be an asshole on national television and remove your mask and throw it at the feet of a 10-year-old child?
Well, I'll touch on right now who gave me the awesome name, and it was actually Chris Jericho came up with it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
I've heard of him.
Whatever he says is like gold because he's been doing it forever.
Yeah. Okay. He's a good dude.
Any advice Jericho gives, I'm listening to.
Yeah.
And then he kind of helped a lot with the whole unraveling of it. I would go to him every week in his office, and man, we were supposed to do it months before it happened. And you know, stuff out of everyone's control just kept happening. We were going to do it in Jacksonville because that's kind of like the home of AEW for a while. So I thought it'd be cool to do it there. And we did Thanksgiving weekend in Chicago. And I'm like, well, that's a huge, huge show, huge weekend. Perfect. So I felt like the Dark Order was getting we weren't going anywhere. So I wanted to do something. I never knew Roosh before this or Jose. Roosh is honestly probably top 5 funniest guys in the locker room.
I could go on about how much I love Roosh. Like, just such a good dude.
He's the best. His charisma's out of control. So I don't know. We're having fun though. I like working with them a lot. It's different and also a learning curve because my Spanish is not fluent or very existent at all. So it's fun to you know, put stuff together with him. Jose is a huge help with the translating stuff, obviously. But I will give Bruce credit. He does say he practices his English every single day, and you can tell each week it gets way better.
So how did this actually come to be? When was the first idea thrown at you? Tell us a little about that.
I remember I was somewhere backstage and Andrade pulled me aside and was like, hey, I'm going to go to Tony. I want you with us.
Ooh.
He's like, I think you look cool in a suit. Take off the mask. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, I was doing the 10 thing for at that point, like 3 years. So I was pretty ready to change. I never liked wearing the mask. I never wore it before AEW. It's like hard to kind of connect with the people when you're under a mask. There are pros and cons to it. A pro is you never have to worry about facial expressions or anything. But the con is, I mean, it's hard to show any sort of enthusiasm. It's all body language. And so I'm pretty glad I'm done with the mask.
Just to put over Alex's boys for a second, it's one of the things I really love about Penta and Phoenix is you can connect with them so well despite having the masks. And it's one of those things that I don't think fans of wrestling fully like appreciate, that people in masks who can
connect with the audience. It's so incredibly difficult to do. So I commend you on that, you asshole. I'm just going to keep calling you an asshole through this whole thing.
I've been called a lot worse on Twitter, so it's fine.
Oh, well, I mean, well, we all have. So there's that. So before you were a complete asshole and completely destroyed your relationship with Brody Lee Jr., you guys were like inseparable. Like literally like best friends. And he's like walking around backstage with a shirt off, just like being like a little tiny wrestler. We're all just like, okay, give him 8 years. He'll be here. He'll open challenge for the TNT title. Like this kid's like crazy. So I know that that was sort of near the end of Brody's illness, just from like a timeline perspective. Like how did you end up connecting with Negative One in the first place?
It was kind of weird because like a lot of people think that, you know, me and Brody were related, or I've known them my whole life. Like, I didn't meet Brody till I came to AEW. He's actually the one who got me signed, technically. So I did one dark match with Darby Allin in Jacksonville right in the beginning of the pandemic. And then we did those 6 weeks of TV in Georgia at QT school. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't signed. But the first night I was there, like, before, like, working out and stuff, and Brody walked in. It was the first time I ever met him. And we started talking about hockey, drinking Tito's, and so it's like two things we really connected on. And he was like
hockey and Tito's.
He goes up to QT and Cody at the time and was like, hey, is this guy, does he have a tryout with WWE, or like what's basically like what's wrong with him, why isn't he signed? And then they're like, oh, like I don't know, like whatever. So Brody's like, well, I want him with me, put him with me out, like take him under my wing on screen and off screen. So that's how that happened. Towards like when he started getting sick, and little Brody and Amanda would come to the shows, I remember walking by them in the hall and I was like, said hi, whatever. I don't think they knew who I was. And then when I put on the full 10 stuff, Brody was walking by and he goes, Mom, that's 10. So then after that, he was really, really like, I think as a kid, you know, you see your dad with someone on TV and then you kind of relate, well, oh, well, that's like real life is right hand man type of thing. So I think, you know, in the whole group, I think Brody kind of sees a piece of his dad in all of us because that's kind of was his creation. So I think that's why. And also I'm, don't take anything seriously. So I'm kind of just like a big kid. So I think he could connect with me on that, where like he was going through a hard time and I could kind of make him just like be a kid and forget about stuff.
Well, that was super cool of you back then. How did you get the name 10?
Brody's whole thing, I don't know if you remember when he came here and was doing the Mr. Brody Lee, he was kind of a knock on the other company, how they only look for like athletes and they don't care if you were a wrestler or whatever. So he gave me the name 10 because he's like, you're like exactly what the other place looks for. The cookie cutter, how you look, how you wrestle. So you're like the perfect 10. So then he came up with 10. But before that, when I did the dark match with Darby, my real name's Cody. Wasn't allowed to use that.
Wonder why.
Fair.
So the Young Bucks actually came up with the name Preston because they said that they had a friend in high school who was like the jock and also kind of like an arrogant prick. And they're like, you look like a Preston. And I'm like, I'll take it. I don't care. And then Charlie from Props, he's like, dude, the number 10 is in Press 10. So maybe you should make that like your whole thing. I'm like, oh, that's smart. So then that's how that came about.
That's awesome.
Damn. That's actually really smart. Shout out to Charlie and the Bucks. Yeah. Bucks especially for realizing early on that you were an asshole. It was destined to be. I mean, they just started it and then eventually things turned out for the worst. Do you have any like fun Mr. Brody Lee stories or memories?
Doing the BTE with him was the best.
Dark Order and the BTE. Oh my God.
Because he would, when he was on doing the skits with us, we'd always start breaking and we'd laugh. But then when we were doing our own thing and he wasn't like part of the scene, he would still be in the corner just dying laughing. And then we kept having to do so many takes because like he would make us laugh and his laugh was like not a quiet laugh at all. Like it would boom the whole place. So it's like, dude, we can hear you. Like you're literally laughing, you know? But he was awesome. He had such a contagious like energy about him. Like when he would smile, light up a whole room. And he's one of the only people, maybe the only person I've ever heard in pro wrestling where no one say like one bad thing about.
Yeah. So true.
He made wrestling almost come secondary. And like for me, like outside looking in, like I would rather be remembered as like the good person that everybody likes to be around and have fun than the best wrestler that everybody hates type thing.
I want to know, when you guys were doing the Dark Order skits, back in the pandemic, did you guys know that you were onto something? You know, did you know that it was eventually going to be what really kind of brought, you know, the Dark Order back to life, if you will?
No, we were shocked because we were just goofing around having fun. And then that's one of the good things about social media, because stuff like that can happen. I think there's way more bad that comes to social media, but there are the goods, like that helped a ton. The BTE stuff started carrying over to like actual like TV.
Right.
No, we did not think it was going to help us in that regard at all. We were just having fun because those days in Jacksonville were so long. Like we'd be there till 2-3 in the morning sometimes. So we didn't have anything to do. So we just would film stuff, and it ended up working out a lot for us.
I think it was funny that era, like BTE, because once we knew that we were sort of going back on the road, I think everybody's like, well, where do we film? Because we just have like that one room.
Yeah.
Or like those two rooms, like there's like the red bar and then there's the other one that sort of leads into like the main seating area. And it's like,
yeah,
that's like the set for BTE. Like, what are we going to do? We're so screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about that all the time. Like, I forgot who I was talking to. I think Britt Baker last week. We were saying how like, people who weren't here during the Jacksonville era don't understand, like, during the time, everyone's like, man, this kind of sucks. Like, we're just in the same place every week. But now we're kind of like, I would love to go back there. Like we were so close. That's how, like, everybody became friends and developed relationships. And,
yeah,
like, looking back now, I was like, man, I would do that for, like, a few weeks in a row. And now I live in Jacksonville, so it'd be super easy, but...
Yeah, like it's funny you mentioned earlier, like Tito's.
Yeah.
And that's one of the like Jacksonville memories is just walking on the fourth floor and just seeing that giant bottle of Tito's. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Fourth floor party. Here we go.
Exactly.
Grab a glass, go out to the balcony. Here we go. This is awesome. Despite him being an asshole, we're having an awesome conversation with Preston Vance here on AEW Unrestricted. Coming up, much, much more.
Hey, it's Alex, and I'll be back here at Unrestricted talking to El Perro Peligroso, Preston Vance, who is having a fun time reminiscing about our Jacksonville days. Those were some good times.
Yeah.
We certainly bonded quite a bit all together backstage. But I wanted to ask you about Reynolds and Silver, because you formed quite a trio with them. From what I have been told, it's one of your, I guess, favorite memories about being able to team up with them. So tell us a little bit about that combination, because obviously there's quite a bit of different combinations of Dark Order, and you seem to really gel with those two.
Yes. So Silver is probably the funniest dude in the whole company.
Oh, yeah.
What you see, that's him, for real. I don't know. We just had this dynamic of, like, you know, Silver's like the shorter, like, jack dude. I'm the bigger guy. And then Reynolds was like the smooth, technical. And those two have been teaming for like 15 years, like since the very, very beginning. So they just have natural chemistry. They've been friends forever. I think they would like, you know, Silver is another one where he kind of brings out the same energy that he has. He brings out in other people. So yeah, I love working with them. I love working with Uno too. We all had a good dynamic, but sometimes things have to change, whether it's some people think it's for the bad or the good. I think it's for the good. I think a lot think it's for the bad. I had fun working with those guys.
And speaking of having fun with guys, I know we touched on this in the first segment, but Roosh, Jose, Jalistico, like you being a part of LFI, it was one of those things where like I looked at it first going, I don't know, like we got this white guy in a group who's like traditionally like very like Mexican. It just doesn't really make sense, but kind of understanding like where you came from. And like, I have a question about the suit thing, because every time like guys end up wearing suits, like do you have, I know that some people are like, oh, I love the excuse to buy a suit every week and whatnot. Like, has your suit budget increased since joining this group?
I mean, yeah, because before that, it was zero.
Yeah.
I'm not a suit guy. I'm not a dress clothes guy. I don't like to wear sleeves even.
No.
Yeah, it's like 10 degrees and you're in shorts. We've seen you.
It's awful.
So like half the time I try to like, what else can I wear out there to be different? So I'll wear like the LFI cutoff shirt with black jeans and boots, or like a just all black tank top. Like, cause I think like if I'm supposed to be like the quote unquote heater of the group, like I can get away with not wearing a suit and stuff. And then plus last time, I think it was Ring of Honor taping. It was Roosh and Jalisco versus, I don't remember who, but I was on the outside and I picked up the opponent. And when I went bend down to grab him, my whole ass ripped out of my suit.
Oh,
so yeah. I'm like, this is why I hate wearing suits, because they just don't fit right, you know? So I'm like, now I'm out here, the audience, I don't know if anyone saw it, because towards the end of the match, but I mean, the whole ass of my pants was just gone. I'm like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. So I got to the back and I had Chris sew it up. But no, my suit budget hasn't, it's gone up, but I have two or three. I'm not a big suit guy.
If it makes you feel any better, I've also ripped my pants on TV. So
you guys gotta invest in that stretch fabric, man. I tell you,
I do. I have stretch fabric. It was a very intense pin, and I'm standing directly in front of Billy Gunn, just like, I hope this isn't too bad. And he's like, I didn't notice. And I'm like, sure you didn't. I think it's just one of those things, like, he lied to me and he's going to stick to it. Go ahead, Alex.
Vince, let's talk about this insane match that you had with Moxley back in February, because it was bloody, it was brutal. And I really think that that's one of the matches that really put you on the map in terms of next level. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that match, what you felt about it going in, and then how you felt afterwards.
I was pretty nervous going in, but not that nervous because Moxley's so good. Like,
so good.
I mean, so good. He can like walk anybody through anything. And that was my third time wrestling him anyways. And I never wrestled Claudio, but he's awesome. And it was kind of do whatever you want. So it's like, just kind of go out there and beat the shit out of each other, which like, that's the style that I like. And that's how Moxley likes too. So me and Moxley have really good chemistry against each other, because we both like kind of like to hit, and we don't care if it's, you know, if stuff is there and dangerous. So we didn't have like, going out was pretty nervous, because we still were kind of unsure about some stuff, like as our music was hitting. So me and Roosh are like, just go out there and just fight, which that's what we did. And it was fun. And obviously there's blood, because, you know,
it's a Moxley match.
Mox loves it. That was definitely my most favorite match to date. And like, working with Claudio was awesome. Never worked with him before. He's another one. Nicest dude ever. Has a million dad jokes. I would love to do a whole thing with just Moxley, though. Like me and him do something, because he's so good. And like, when you're in there with someone and you really feel like you have the chemistry and connect, like, you know it right away. And that's how I feel with him. So
you'd mentioned in the first segment talking about Brody Lee with hockey. And I didn't know that you played hockey for a really long time.
Yeah.
Did you ever dream of like playing hockey professionally, or was sort of wrestling always your direction?
I definitely wanted to play hockey professionally. And as a kid, you know, you have all these big dreams that you aspire, and you don't realize how hard stuff really is.
I'm going to win the Stanley Cup. And it's like, oh, that's actually really hard.
Exactly. Yeah. So I started playing hockey when I was 8 and played all the way through high school. So I played for like 12 years.
Damn.
And then, you know, thought about maybe trying to do it in college. But, you know, when I got to a certain age, I knew I wasn't going to go to the NHL. So at least I was smart enough to realize that. So I'm just going to get my degree. But as a kid, I always wanted to be a pro wrestler. I wrote a whole essay when I was 8 years old, and everyone's putting like what they want to do, like when they grow up, their dream job. And it was baseball player, football player, you know, whatever. And I said, I want to be a pro wrestler on TV. And I'm probably honestly the only kid in that whole class who's actually doing that. But my mom still has my essay from when I was 8 years old, and I wrote it. I want to be a pro wrestler on TV. So that's pretty cool. But I knew I didn't, wasn't going to go to the NHL. So in college, I was in my senior year. I went to college for business. I went to business school. My dad owns an insurance agency, so I was going to take that over. In my senior year of college, I literally looked up every single pro wrestling school in the country, every single one. And for every, you know, good one, there's 100 bad ones. So I'm researching. I finally find the Monster Factory in New Jersey, which is where I met QT. So I graduate college. I'll go try to work for my dad for like a week, but I know I wanted to just already was in contact with him. So last day at college, I go work for my dad for maybe a week. And I was like, I'm not doing this. Like, no way. I want to try wrestling. If I don't make it or crash and burn, I'd rather know that I tried than get a good job right out of college and be miserable. So I missed my college graduation. My mom wasn't super happy about it.
No, of course not.
I packed up my little black Mustang, packed up to New Jersey, put everything I could in there. I lived out of my car for like 3 weeks, and I had enough money to buy like a George Foreman grill and a gym membership. And I was so embarrassed. I was like basically homeless. So I would go into the gym at like 2-3 in the morning, because it's 24 hours, and cook all my food in the bathroom, which is probably pretty unsanitary now that you think about it. And then, you know, do whatever. But I ended up getting a job doing personal training at that gym anyways. So it kind of worked out. And then I guess the rest is history.
Listen, that takes a lot of confidence in yourself. It takes a lot of guts. So I commend you for that. That's what an amazing story.
Yeah.
So once you started working at the Monster Factory, getting trained, did you start to work the independents? And when did it kind of all finally click for you?
So my first year, I pretty much just worked at the Monster Factory. And then I would do extra work for like WWE and stuff. I had a tryout scheduled for 2017. and I tore my ACL like right before it. Mm. So then I moved back home, lived with my parents, and then was healed in 9 months. And at this point, QT had opened the school in Atlanta. So he called me, hey man, when you're cleared, if you want to move down here, you can, you know, stay with me and your wife till you find a place, whatever. I'm like, okay. So I moved down there, get rolling again, start doing the indies like down in the southeast and stuff. I did an NXT like extra work or whatever and did a dark match where you just get squashed basically. So I'm like, whatever, nothing's going to come of this. And I get to the back and one of the agents is like, hey, we never do this, but we want to offer you a tryout on the spot. I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Wow.
So they're like, our next tryout, I think it was, I want to say it's like 2 months away. There's like no spots open. We're going to add a spot for you, whatever. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, you know, lightning strikes twice, I guess. So then this one starts coming up about, I'd say 3 or 4 weeks before this one, I tear my other ACL.
Oh.
So now I'm like, oh my God, this is, maybe this isn't for me. You know, I was depressed. I was like, how the fuck does this happen? So I didn't move home. I stayed in Georgia and stayed at the school. And like, this was, I just want to be around wrestling. So like QT was a huge help. He's been a huge help in my whole career from the very start. I got healed and that's where I met Cody, was at QT school. And he just had like, I think he maybe was going through a little bit of a rehab himself. So we kind of met. I was fully back. And then he gave me like his whole Rolodex of all the indies to work. And he was at one point calling indie promoters to get me booked on. Cody was.
Wow.
I didn't even know him at this point, you know? And I'm like, damn, that's awesome. So he saw something in me. And then, like I said, when I did the one dark match here and then got signed the next week because of Brody. And then funny enough, I don't know if you guys remember, but when I first started, I had to come out in that brace in my arm.
Yeah.
Because I tore my bicep.
You're just tearing everything, man.
Literally, I tore my bicep 3 days after I signed the contract here. So I remember calling Brody, like crying. Like, this dude just got me a job. And I just, in my mind, I'm like, I'm for sure fired. And Brody's like, no, you'll be good, man. You're young, you're jacked, you'll be fine. So then that's the one he gave me his jacket to like cover up my arm and everything. And I actually have his jacket framed in my place. But
that's cool.
I had a pretty rough patch of, I guess, bad luck. But now it's all working out.
I'd be a little afraid if I was your other bicep at this point, because I feel like you've hit every other limb.
Right.
I would protect the fuck out of that. I mean, I'm not saying that there's like habits or, you know, that things happen, but I'm just saying you're an asshole. So maybe like the universe is going to end up coming at you.
I don't know. All that happened to me when I was good, though. So I don't know. I think maybe.
Oh, boy.
That's the true
reason
behind the heel turn. I get it. Yeah, it's fine. Fuck this guy. Anyway, we're talking to Preston Vance here on AEW Unrestricted. Coming up, we got fan questions. I'm so excited. Aubrey and Alex here talking to formerly number 10, Preston Vance, El Perro Peligroso. Sorry, fucked it up. Much like you fucked up your relationship with a small child.
Oh.
Oh, you like that segue. Oh,
that was pretty good. I'll give that one to you. Yeah,
pretty
that
good.
Was,
all right.
That was very good.
We got some fan questions today. First off, question from...
I love this first one.
First question from my best friend, Amanda Huber. How dare you?
With an exclamation mark.
That's just the entirety of the question.
That's it.
That's a great question.
Your response, sir.
To how dare you?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, here's the thing with little Brody. He was like my little brother, but sometimes I'm the little brother in real life. So sometimes brothers fight. And most of the time, the older brother wins.
Wow.
It had to be done, you know? Ugh. Little Brody just kind of turned into a punk.
Oh,
to be honest.
He was. I mean, I think he needed to be taught a lesson.
I mean, he was going back. He was hitting people with kendo sticks, like,
yes.
No warning.
No warning.
This is all a learning lesson for him. I think I'm doing him a favor.
Wow. The things you learn here are unrestricted. Unbelievable. Ugh. I've got a question here for you, which is really cool. And I've got to break it down for you because it can be a little bit complex, but it's from AEW Metrics, which is a great, great account.
I love this account.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Does Preston know that is 10? He had exactly 10 wins and 10 losses in 2020. Also tell him that he is the only AEW wrestler with more than 20 singles, 20 tag, and 20 trios wins.
Wow.
How does that make you feel?
I didn't know the first one. That's pretty weird. The second one I did know, and I'll tell you how I found out. My mom, actually, because she loves to bandy search me on Twitter. Which I tell her, please don't.
Don't.
And she like sent me that stat and she's like, I saw the tweet and I just had her feeling I knew this was you. And I'm like, oh my God, mom, please stop. Please stop searching me.
That's fantastic. Moms, you got to love them.
I have a follow-up question. Is there anything that your mom has found on Twitter that you're like particularly embarrassed about?
Mm. Oh, man.
Besides embarrassing a 10-year-old?
Like a thirst trap or something? Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, she knows how I am. So I think she's, everything that happens, she's kind of expected.
Not really surprised by anything.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. Got a question from Rachel Hart. You kind of mentioned this a little bit, but I want to kind of dig into it deeper. Rachel asks, since LFI is so tight-knit, especially with Roosh and Dralistico being brothers, what's it like fitting into the dynamic there? And how has the identity changed with the addition of you?
Honestly, it was... Roosh is so easy to get along with. So me and him, it was easy to fit in. So his brother's English is like basically non-existent. Like he really speaks like no English at all. Mm-hmm. But wrestling is such a universal language. Like you can kind of pick up on what people are, even if it's not even wrestling based, just in the locker room. Like his brother seems like, we don't really communicate talking, but we have like these little taunts we do to each other. One is this, like a strip club thing.
This makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. It was great. Great work with them. Like I said, Jose's been a huge help. He speaks very fluent English and Spanish, like perfect. But fitting in with them has been awesome. Like I love working with Roosh. He's funny. And it makes it funnier that his English isn't great because he still doesn't pick up on some things you're saying. He cracks me up. He cracks up the whole locker room. He's a funny guy. So it was easy to fit in with them. But at first, I was like you, where I was like, man, I don't know if this makes sense at all, being, you know, the white guy in this Mexican faction. And I don't know how they're going to really reciprocate to me because Andrade is kind of the one who pulled the plug to get me in there. And now it's like, he's not there. Now Roosh is there. And I'm like, oh God, if you see Roosh like wrestling, you're like, this guy's nuts. And then backstage, you're like, oh my God. Okay. Never mind. Fitting him in with them was awesome though. So I'm having fun.
I got a really great question here from Phoenix, not Ray Phoenix. Just make sure to clarify that. The question would be completely different if that was the case. So Phoenix has a great question. In your time at AEW, you've worked with the Dark Order and LFI. What is something that you've learned with working with both groups that you are taking with your wrestling moving forward?
So the first one, with Dark Order, was, I guess the clear answer is learning how to work in a mask. Because I never did it before. So, and then if I ever have to do it again, it will be way easier than the first time. Working with LFI, I guess the other clear answer is to understand how to call stuff, either basically how to talk to someone you don't know in a language, you know, so not even that I'm learning Spanish, but knowing how to communicate with Roosh, whether it's backstage or in the ring, without having to actually communicate with them, which I think are both super helpful, especially in wrestling, you know, because you might have to wear a mask and, you know, there's so many different backgrounds in wrestling from different demographics and stuff. So honestly, I've learned so much working with LFI just off of them speaking a totally different language than me.
Are you formally learning Spanish or are you just picking it up from the boys?
Just picking it up from the boys. So I think some of the words I learned, probably not appropriate. But
I was going to say 99% of what you know is inappropriate. I'm positive of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my English too, though. So I guess it all works out.
Then you're fine. You're balanced.
I actually started learning Spanish just because I ended up working with Roosh so much. And I'm like, I got to know what the hell this guy's saying.
Yeah.
And now it's like really funny trying to like listen to him try out English words when he's like, okay, that's not quite right, man. But like, you're getting it.
Yeah.
And like, you end up hanging out with them, even if you're learning Spanish. And you're like, oh, I don't know this kind of Spanish, because they're like throwing in slang. And then there's occasional like Spanglish thrown in there. And it's just like, I commend you if you're learning it that way, because it's like, oh God, this is wild. But I mean, both those guys are great. I know that Dralistico came up to me and he's like, ¿cómo se dice feliz cumpleaños? And I'm like, happy birthday. Like, I know that one.
Yeah.
This is great. Like, both those guys, friggin' awesome. Yeah. This is something we haven't touched on at all. And I'm actually excited to. Question from Allie. I want to know how Vance keeps positive about his hospital visits, because you actually suffer from Crohn's disease. I know rare times, Allie says she's highly anemic. It sucks, especially if you need a fusion. So can you talk about that a little bit, especially in the context of wrestling? Like, this is wild.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I was sick a lot and I didn't know why. And then I got diagnosed when I was 10 years old with it. And, you know, that's pretty young. So they're trying out all these different drugs and stuff on me, and nothing's really helping that much. And then when I turned 16, they're like, okay, stop taking all these, stop taking all the pills, whatever. We're going to put you on like an infusion. You only have to go do it 6 times a year. So like every 2 months you do it. at one point I was taking like 14 pills a day. Oof. And as a kid, I'm like, this sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, really sucks. So I was like, yes, please. Like, I want to do that. Cause then I don't have to remember, you know, just go there, sit there for 2 hours with the IV in you and you're fine. Ever since that, I literally haven't been sick in probably like 13 years.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's been like the miracle drug. Like, my doctor calls him like his miracle patient. He's like, dude, you have no, like, you don't even have like signs of the disease anymore. He's like, it's crazy. But he said like working out helps a ton with, he's like, said if he could prescribe one pill or anything to his patients, it'd be the equivalent of working out every day.
Wow. Mm.
It honestly was one of the things I wanted to, that got me into wrestling. As a kid, I would look for athletes who have this, you know, to try to like almost get inspiration for them or look up to them. So a lot of people, when they're on this big of a platform, like, you can use that platform for something good like that, you know? It's like, if some kid has this and wants to be a pro wrestler, it's like, yeah, you can do it. Honestly, for me, it's been pretty easy to stay positive. I don't know. I just try to be a positive person no matter what, I guess, and try to not take stuff too serious. Because I always think, too, like, you know, people out there, someone always has it way worse.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
I like the idea of you creating, like, a form of representation because of this. Like,
yeah,
it's not something that, like, I would have thought about because it's not something that, like, I suffer from.
Sure.
But, yeah, no, it's dope. I know Kyle O'Reilly does the same thing with diabetes. Like, mm-hmm, kind of, mm-hmm, like, really awesome.
Yeah.
Especially considering that, like, I know that you eat way too much fast food. So to know that you haven't been sick despite your diet being absolute shit. So, what do you, like, how often do you eat McDonald's? I got to know.
So in college, it was like a lot. Now it's,
yeah,
now it's not as much. I do Uber Eats a ton of food. Like, I looked at my Uber Eats bill and it's disgusting, but I try to order kind of like, not, I try to stay away from fast food lately, but McDonald's is probably my favorite restaurant in the whole world. I love it.
What does your diet consist of? Like, what are you eating?
Anything that's in front of me, pretty much.
Great metabolism.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question here from Cult Revolve, which is pretty cool. What are some of your favorite games, either right now or of all time? And is there anything new coming out that you're excited about?
So I'm really not a big video game guy. I was as a kid. Growing up, I think my favorite was probably Guitar Hero. And I was good at it.
Yeah.
Like, good. Like, expert everything. Like, they shredded on it. And I felt so cool. And I don't know how to play any instruments for real. But Guitar Hero was awesome. I love all sports games. I just love sports in general, like Madden, NHL. In college, we'd play NHL for like my roommates forever. Obviously, all the wrestling games we'd play a ton. In college, we would get a keg and then we would do like a 6-man ladder match. They would last for so long, but we had the whole list of like the rules. We made up drinking games for it and everything. And like, if the guy falls off the ladder, you have to take a drink. Like, I don't know. It was fun, but.
Oh my God.
And then we did a Mario Kart, we did a lot, which we did this thing in Mario Kart where you had to finish your drink before you could finish the race. So either as soon as the race starts, you chug your drink and then you go, or as you're driving, you have to pull over and drink and then go back and start playing.
I do like the responsibility of pulling off to the side of the road to have your drink.
Yeah.
And then pulling back on.
Yeah.
What is your Mario Kart of choice? Because I know like there's a lot of very strong opinions about which Mario Kart is the best.
I'm going to get a lot of heat for this, but I honestly am a Princess Peach a lot.
Dude, I support it.
Yeah.
Don't hate on Peach.
Don't hate on Peach. She's a badass, man. I don't know if you've seen the new Mario movie, but she's a badass.
I haven't, but I heard it's awesome.
Oh my God. It's so much fun.
Yeah. I hear it's really good.
I think you walk into video game movies expecting them to be total shit.
Yeah, of course.
When they're actually good, you're just like, oh my God, like Sonic Hedgehog movie was like, oh, this is decent. Like this is pretty great. I got a question from Michelle78. It's actually really great because I know like what the TNT title means to AEW and especially guys from the Dark Order. Are you ever going to open like answer an open challenge for the TNT title? Like, is that the title that you sort of want to win at AEW?
Yeah, I've said this on multiple interviews before. Like, that title I want to win more than any other title by far.
Hmm.
Just because it does represent something that's like real and close to me. TNT title is my number one goal in AEW.
That makes a lot of sense. So I think it's time that we move into some rapid fire questions, Aubrey. What do you think?
Rapid fire. I like it.
So Maggie wants to know, I'm a bartender. What's your favorite drink?
Oh, Tito's Soda Lime. Easy.
There you go.
Easy. Trish Moore's favorite show to binge?
Office.
You forgot the second part of that question, though. This is equally as good, Aubrey.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh, probably Friends in Low Places, Garth Brooks.
Oh, my God. Do you hang out with the Guns?
I think Austin's about to walk in my door any second right now. He's been over all weekend, and now he's been here since Friday. I don't know if he's moving in or what, but
Friends in Low Places is like him and his brother's go-to karaoke song. So I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, we actually sang it in the locker room the past 2 weeks with Jake Hager.
Oh my God. Oh,
a new boy band.
Okay. Next question. Joe asks, Bucky's, Wawa, or Sheetz?
Great question.
Bucky's one, Wawa two, Sheetz last.
Oh, okay. There we go.
All right. Jamerson 315. What's your favorite Mexican Tex-Mex or Cali Mex dish?
Taco Bell. No, I'm just kidding. Any sort of burrito, really.
Any kind.
Any kind. I love burrito. Breakfast burritos. Burritos, one of my favorite foods. I don't care what's in it.
Yeah, you can never go wrong.
I support this. You can't fuck up a burrito, man.
No, you just throw everything in it and wrap it up.
That's it.
It's awesome.
It's so great. It's so simple and so wonderful and just such a great food
item.
Morning,
noon, and night.
Yeah, exactly. You really could.
I mean, breakfast burrito, lunch burrito, dessert burrito.
Yeah.
I mean, you just throw some like butter and some cinnamon sugar in a tortilla. Yeah. Like, does that count?
I think so.
Yeah.
If you wrap it up, it's a burrito, right? You
That's
put,
true.
Like, Nutella in there. I don't know.
Yeah, Nutella. There you go.
Oh, man.
Strawberry, okay. Bananas. Oh, all right.
Exactly.
We're on a tangent.
Making me hungry. Haven't had breakfast yet. Okay. I know that I think forever and ever you're going to be an asshole in all of our hearts. But my opinion's changed a little bit on this podcast. So I guess thanks for being here today and being a decent human being to maybe not piss off so many people.
I try.
Yeah, this was awesome, man. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can follow Preston Vance on Instagram and Twitter at Press1010Vance. Of course, you can follow and listen to this podcast. New episodes every Thursday, video episodes on Monday. Just go to YouTube, search AEW Unrestricted. You can listen to the podcast on all of your favorite podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, wherever it is you get them. You can watch Dynamite, TBS, Rampage, TNT, Dark, and Dark Elevation Tuesdays and Mondays, respectively, on YouTube. I am Aubrey Edwards with my guest co-host, Alex Abrahentes. Thank you so much for listening to AEW Unrestricted. Come on, throw your hands out, let me see you. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, bring the house down. Got that bass, pumping, make them bounce now. Flossing like they bouncing in the